look at verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll look at verses 9 and 10. And I'll read this. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And I'll be talking today about why me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we do thank you so much for all that you do for us. And Lord, we ask that you would please meet with us tonight. Pray that you'd please just be with the singing now. I pray, Lord, that you'd please be with the preaching to follow. In your name, pray, amen. What I needed to preach tonight. Of course, you'll do that a little bit once you're preaching the pulpit of your homiletics teacher. So, I was a little nervous, but I wanted to preach some other things, but God wanted me to preach on this, I believe. But here in 1 Corinthians 15, it says in verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And it says right here, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." I want to talk to you, like I said, a little bit about why me. I have a friend I grew up with. His name is Austin. And growing up, of course, we always had a good time. And then when we got to college, of course, I started talking to Miss Leah, and we dated, we got married. And of course, Austin, he went out and he saw a girl that he liked, and he was dating her. And at this time, all through college, he got some news about his mom. And his news was that his mom was diagnosed with cancer. Now, she had cancer before, and she had beaten it. And I think all of us were kind of under the assumption that this was going to happen again. She had had it for a while now, and she was kind of getting over it for a little bit. And it looked like she was getting stronger. And we're all excited. But it came to the point where Austin had just heard that his mom only had about a month to live. And Austin hurried up, and the girl that he was dating, he went up to her, and he knew he loved her, and he wanted to make sure that she had a little bit was a little bit a part of his mom's life. And in this time, he talked, and so he asked her to marry him, and he was so excited, but at the same time, he was so sad. And knowing that his mom only had a couple of weeks to live, he stood up and he said, "Why me?" And thinking that he was my friend, he was my good buddy, and I just want to reach out and say, "Man, well, you know what? God has a plan. Don't worry. You know, maybe God just wants to show His strength through this. Maybe God just wants to give you a bit of grace." And I was trying to think through of all the reasons of why God would make this upon him. And he said, "No." A little smile came across his face, and he said, "Why me?" You see, Austin was born to a 16-year-old girl. It wasn't her choice. She didn't want him. And she gave him up to adoption. And a family chose him. And he said, "No." He said, "Not why me, because my mom is dying right after I got engaged to this girl." He says, "Why me, that she chose me to be in this family? Why was I allowed to be in this family and have a part in this woman's life?" And I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about why me. You know what? God has given us so many things. And selfishly, we think about people and they throw their hands up to God. And God maybe brings something into their lives. And they say, "Why me, God?" But I want to say that also. Why me? Why has God given us the things that He gives us? Why has God given us these things? And I'm not saying this selfishly. I'm not thinking that God owes me anything. I'm saying, why has God done this for us? Why me? I want to bring... there's several reasons why I want to ask God, why me tonight? The first thing I want to ask Him is, why me for me? In Isaiah 43:7, it says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." God didn't just allow us to become a series of genetic mutations and voila, you're there. God created us the way that we are. God created us this way. You know what? I might not have the basketball skills of a Mike Bragg over there, but you know what? I can run. I can walk. God has given me that. I might not have the golf skills of a Mike Johnson, but you know what? I know I don't have those golf skills. All right? But I might not have those skills, but you know what? At least I can move my arms and I can do that. I might not have the mind of Brother Jason, thank God, but you know what? I'm just joking, brother. But you know what? At least I can think. You know what? Every Sunday, when I see those sunbeams, I think, why me? I'm not trying to belittle anybody or anything. I'm just saying, why me? Man, they're so dependent on the people around them. And you know what? God has not made us that way. Why us? Why did God create us that way? Why did God make you the way that you are? I want to say tonight, why me? You know what? I might not have 20/20 eyesight, but I have eyesight. Amen. And we can go on and on and on. Yeah, you know what? Things in your life might not be perfect, but why does God allow things to be the way they are? Why did God allow you to be the person that you are? He gave us our personality and our looks. You know what? I looked it up. An average of $12 billion are spent per year here in America on cosmetic surgery. People are just not happy with the way that God made them. They're not happy with the way that they are. And so they want to change. They think that maybe they got a better plan. Maybe the nose that they pick out is better than the nose that God picks out, right? And it's because we're not thankful for what God has given us. We're not thankful saying, "God, thank you for making me the way that I am." And I want to tell God, thank you so much for that. Why did you choose me to become me? Thank you, God. The next thing, quickly, why me for my family? And I think you could say the same thing tonight too. Why you? Why has God blessed us with the families that we have? Genesis 2:18, it says, "It is not good that a man should be that the man should be alone." And I say amen to that, right? I appreciate my wife. She's a big blessing to me. And I'm thankful for her. And I'm thankful to God that He brought us together. I'm thankful that God had her picked out for me. And God had brought her through a Christian home. And God had her for me. I'm thankful for my family that God has given me. My wife, she loves me. She laughs with me. usually laughed at me. All right. She encourages me. She settles me down. She motivates me. That's the wrong list, okay? But she loves me. And I'm thankful that God has given me the family that I have. And you know what? We need to be thankful for the family that God has given us. Man, oh, you go into some of these bus homes and the families that they're born into. It's a sad mess. Half of them don't even know who their dad is. Half of them are just happy that they have a man in the home. And you know, we need to be thankful for what God has given us. Be thankful for our parents, young folks. I'm thankful for the parents that God has given me. My mom and my dad have given me a good legacy, have given me a good heritage. My wife says I become more like my father every day. And that's a good thing. I'm thankful for that, usually. All right? But I love my dad. And I love my family, and I'm so thankful that God has given me the family that I have. And every time that I go to a bus family, every time I go into teen church and I hear the prayer requests that I have, every time that I come and I be a part of a family and their family is just broken into shambles, I go to God and I say, why me for the family that I have? Why me? And that's one thing that we need to say. Maybe our home situation isn't perfect. Maybe things don't turn out the way that we want them to, but why us? Why did God choose us to have the family that we have? We need to be so thankful for that. We need to be, next thing I want to say why me for is why me for my nation? I looked up at those pictures and I looked at Mexico. Didn't look like Bourbonnais. The prosperity isn't there. And not just for the prosperity that we have in our nation. I know we're going through some economic trouble, and I know that we have some problems, but the nation that God has put us in is second to none. In teen church, I asked for a raise of hands, and I said, how many of you think it would be a great thing if everybody just got paid the same thing? And I know it was a trick question, but about half of them raised their hands. And you know what? I'm thankful that I don't live in a country like that. I'm thankful that I can live in a country where a person can better themselves, where a person can work harder. A person doesn't have to just take whatever the government gives them. I'm thankful that we can vote and we can change things around. I'm thankful for the democracy that we have in our nation. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we live in a Christian nation. I'm thankful for that. Why did God choose me to be born in a Christian nation? I know there's problems. Maybe the presidential pick, or maybe whatever the picks for our local government, whatever the picks are, I know they might not be exactly how we want them. And you know what? Well, however it is, I know that there might be some problems with it. But like I said, it's still a lot better than the nations that are out there. At least we still have some freedom that we can thank God for. Why me for my nation? And by the way, this is a Christian nation, if you didn't know. The pilgrims did come here, did come to America fleeing religious persecution. They were coming here to try and to be able to serve God. You know, all but two of our first 108 universities were founded in America were Christian universities. That's including our first university, which is Harvard. In their starting papers, it says, let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. John 17:3. I'm still quoting, by the way. And therefore, to lay Jesus Christ as the only foundation for our children to follow the moral principles of the Ten Commandments. That's the first university that was started in our nation. Our nation was founded on Christian principles. In 1777, the Congress voted to spend $300,000 to purchase and distribute Bibles. In 1782, Congress recommended and approved the Bible for use in all schools. I'm talking about men like Adams, Hamilton, Hancock, and Madison. Men that loved God. men that wanted to stand up against the government and do it because of their Christian beliefs. I'm thankful for the freedom that we have, and I'm thankful for the reason why we have that freedom. The reason why we have that freedom are the men and women that are over in Iraq right now. They went over and they want to keep our nation free. And all through the years, we have men that have kept our nation free, that have fought for us. Why me to be built, to have been born into a nation like this? Why me to have a part of this? You know what? It's not fair. How many other billions of people are in the world that were born into other countries, but yet God allowed me to be born here? Why me? For me? For my family? For my nation? Why me? For my country? And then right here, this is the one I want to spend some time on. Why me? For His grace. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 2, 8 through 13. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8, says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ." Why me for His grace? Why me for His grace? His grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God knew that we could not make it on our own. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, but God, in His mercy and His love, showed grace upon a bunch of rotten sinners. God showed His grace to us, and He reached His hand way down for me. Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." What I'm trying to say is we had no way to heaven on our own. Once we had committed that first sin, that we were out of options. You know, we could have gone to heaven by being perfect. We could have gone to heaven by doing that. But once we committed that first sin, we were out of options and we could no longer do that. And God saw that. And He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Why me? Why would You do that for me? When He was on the cross, He was thinking of me. When He was on the cross, He was thinking of you. And why us tonight? Are we worth it? There's no way that we could say that. But God decided that we were. And God decided that He was going to impart His grace upon us, that we could have a way to heaven. You see, if we could merit going to heaven, there would be no need for grace. And my friend, I want to tell you tonight that there is much need for grace. At least when you look at me and you look at my life, there's much need for grace. Grace and merit cannot coexist, and they are also mutually excluding. You cannot have one with the other. And once we no longer had the merit to go to heaven, His grace had to be imparted upon us. It says, "Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Colossians, if you would, to Colossians 2, 13 through 16. It says, "And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of the flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. What it's saying is, no man can now judge you according to the law. He says that God has come and he has given you his grace once you accept that, and you can no longer be under subjection to the law. It's not us that's going to take us to heaven. He saves us, but you know what? His grace is not only good to save us, but his grace is also good to keep us. How many times do we fail Christ? How many times do we do that? But yet God opens his arms and he says, and he forgives us. Why? Why me? After the many things that I do, after the many things, it says on Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hey, when you're in that position where you need God to help you, guess what? His grace is offered to you. When you're at the time when you're reaching out and you say, God, I can't make it to heaven on my own, he's reaching out to you and he'll save you. But also at the flip side, once you're saved, he also wants to bring you closer to him. And he wants to forgive you the sins that you do. And he's offering that to you. He has a grace for you that's for everybody. And it's for me. And because of that, I say, why me? Why has God offered that grace to me? Maybe you're the person tonight and you say, Brother Mick, I can't say thank God for the grace that he's through salvation. I can't thank God for that. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Or maybe we say, you know what? I can't say that I've gotten grace over some sins lately. Are we still living in sins? Are we still letting that reign in our bodies? Or are we trying to get that out? You know what? God wants to forgive you of your sins, and he's right there. He has that grace for you. You know what? Just as my friend stood up, and with a little smile on his face, he said, why me? I also have to say, why me? Why has God given me the things that he's given me? And why has God given you the things that he's given you? Why does he make us the way that we are? Why does he give us the family that we have? Why did God put us in this nation, this great nation, where we can come to church freely, and we don't have to belong to a certain religion? Why has God put us in this nation? Why has God done that? But then also, why has he given us his grace? Bow your heads, close your eyes tonight. Say, Brother Mick, I do not know for sure that if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. You can know that in a little bit. In a second here, we'll ask, and you can raise your hands, and someone can come and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Maybe it's just that we haven't thought so much about what God's done for us, and we've been kind of thinking more about what we'd rather have in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, I do thank you so much for all that you do for me. And Lord, I do thank you so much for dying on the cross for me. Lord, there's no way that I could deserve that. Lord, and you decided anyway that you would do that. Lord, I pray that I wouldn't take that for granted tonight, but Lord, that you would please, if there's anybody here that does not know for sure that they're going to heaven when they die, that, Lord, that you'd please convict them and show them their need in your name, pray, amen. There's anybody, the show of hands, you say, Brother Mick, I do not know for sure that if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. Anybody like that, just raise your hand. Say, Brother Mick, I'd like to know that. How do you say, Brother Mick, something that you said in the sermon was needful. Something that was said can be a help to me. Anybody say that? Raise your hand. All right, as the piano plays, thank you.
Lord, again, I thank you for the message, Lord. Thank you for just the reminder. Thank you, Lord, for salvation, for your grace, Lord. We love you and thank you. All this we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name. Amen. Good.